This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. December hard red winter wheat, 775 and a quarter, up 9 3/4. March, 774 and a half, up 9 1/2. December soft wheat, 707 3/4, up 7. March, 717 3/4, up 7. December corn, 445 and a half, up 7 1/4. July, 474, up 7. November soybeans, 13 15 3/4, now 16, up 13 3/4. July, 1264 and a half, up 7 3/4. December soybean meal, 423.20, up 7 10. December soybean oil, 41.50, down 2 cents. October live cattle, 131.52 and a half, up 42 and a half. October feeders, 166.15, up 10. And December lean hogs, 88.12 and a half. They are down 45. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Some enthusiasm in the soybean market today.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes, it's exciting to see, but, you know, November is the one that's really going, and I think it's because we're seeing better basis levels, which would imply, of course, that farmers are not selling as much. And with 69% harvested, some rain, on the radar, and also that fell last night. In fact, coming back from the USDA data users meeting, we actually saw snow in Buckley, and I mean snow that was accumulating on the road, on the grass. It was a little scary. I thought I was back in Wisconsin.
Sue Martin said it was snowing over in Webster City, Iowa, yesterday, too.
That's what I heard. And so, and that's certainly the last thing that we need more for a while, beans or corn. But definitely, we don't need any more weight on that plant because it's got a hard enough time standing up the way it is. But it's nice to see things green on the screen for a change. And, of course, we've got wheat. Wheat's a follower and a helper from the standpoint that it has had strong gains today, too, and it's basically because of higher world prices and a lot of concerns about Argentina and the Black Sea export issues. We're hopeful that we're going to actually bring some wheat sales over here again, and see China continue to buy and some of the other people that we don't normally buy from or don't normally buy from us.
Yeah, like Russia buying 120,000 metric tons of soybeans.
Wasn't that amazing? I mean, and I'm certain that definitely has helped with some short covering going on here this morning. That was a big, big surprise for everyone. And of course, we're moving into the period between this Thursday and finally next week Thursday, we'll be caught up on our export sales, and then we'll find out what's going on from that standpoint. So that's going to be a really good thing.
Meanwhile, technically, this 1315 area has been one that many technicians have looked at as a place where if you can get clearance, you might say a low is in place for a while.
Well, you could. We need to close above the 50-day, which is right in that 1317 area. We went up to 1318 and a half and failed and fell back. But if we can pull out a close above this, yes, then I think I would feel pretty good about the fact that we've got some type of a low in place. Now we'll say that until we get to the November 8th report, and then when we actually get to take a look at what the acreage really was, I think it's likely that we could. I just don't believe that we saw the double crop beans planted that the USDA was projecting. That we had record high projections for that for this year, and we just didn't have good enough weather. So it's going to be interesting. It's not unusual at all. I mean, this is the area where a lot of times we put in, our lows and begin to bounce. And we at least have done that in the last 5 years. But it's going to be pretty tough to be able to say that we'll do that for sure, because this is the first year that we are in a situation, especially in the corn market, where we have projections for such large carryouts. So it still requires risk management. There's no question about that.
Meanwhile, if we didn't need a reminder, we got one today anyway, just how hard it is to sell corn on the export market. Taiwan's Maize Industry Procurement Association rejected U.S. corn prices as too high, turned around and bought Brazilian corn from Columbia Grain International for shipment the second half of December. Vietnamese feed millers said, no thank you, U.S. corn. They bought 400,000 tons of Brazilian corn for January-March. South Korea's Korea Corn Processing Industry bought a 55,000 metric ton of food-grade corn from Cargill. That one's option or option origin, U.S. or Brazil. And then South Korea's NOFI passed on corn wheat tenders for high prices. You can't sell the stuff out of the U.S. right now, despite being the prices where they are.
Well, you know, I think we have to temper that, though, with the fact that basically they're having a fire sale on corn down in Brazil. You know, the Brazilians increased their corn acres tremendously, never anticipating the infrastructure problems. They have huge piles of corn all over on the ground, which, you know, that is not a climate that's conducive, mm-hmm. and especially when you run into the wetter season of keeping anything. And so I've heard that they're selling corn down there for the equivalent of $1.99 a bushel and actually taking a major loss because it costs between $2.25 and $3.50 to haul it. But they want to get anything out of it they can possibly get out of it. And so I anticipate we're going to see this type of thing until they've got everything that's laying around cleaned up. And, you know, these countries are correct when they're saying we're too high, because we're certainly too high compared to those prices. But why would we want to give our product away at this stage of the game? And so we'll have to endure this. This is part of what happened with $8 corn. You know, it encouraged other countries to compete with us. And I don't think we'll be through that until we actually get through 2014. And next year, I don't believe we're going to see nearly as much corn planted outside the United States as what we did this past year.
Do you think that we're potentially looking at another leg down on the corn market post the November crop production and WASDE reports?
I do, Dave. I tell you, I of course, at the data users meeting, you can't, you know, they if they have the information, they're not going to tell you. That's just the way it is, you know, and you wouldn't even ask because you don't expect to. But I do. I think that we are going to see a higher yield, and I think that than is anticipated. And the wild card will be we will either take another leg down because there's going to be more acres than what we're currently showing, and that's going to be coupled with a yield increase. The big problem that the USDA has right now is all of those samples that they had that were sent in from the 1st to the 17th, you know, that had come, they were sent on the 30th or...
Yeah, they're dubious now, aren't they? There's a good word.
They were destroyed. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. basically because... So, you know, to be able to get an objective yield sample out of fields that don't exist anymore...
Yeah.
Because harvest was going...
Yeah, because in November they might be knocked down and gone.
That's exactly right. And they're out there early. They're already being proactive and not waiting till the normal period. They're out there, and they're just getting to anybody they can.
Gee, are they able to do that by law?
I have no idea. We know by law is the name of the game. You know, and a lot of questions were asked, of course, about why the website was shut down during the shutdown. And they were ordered. They had no choice. They were ordered by the administration to shut it down.
By USDA's administration?
No. By the administration.
Oh, by the administration.
It came through, well, if you saw the websites when you went there, it was by order of the president, and they had the whole thing that the president sent to them.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an issue, because it is federally illegal to operate something when there's no funding for it. And so they said they had people who were willing to work for nothing. They would have stayed, you know, and did whatever. And they were told you can't because we can't accumulate an electric bill. So they must have shut all the heat off in those buildings too, evidently. But, you know, I mean, come on. It's a mess. And it is going to, they're scrambling right now because all of their computer programs that accumulate information are based on monthlies.
Yeah.
So it's, okay. You know, I'll be glad when November 8th has passed us and this is behind us, and hopefully we won't see it again in December.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Dave. Bye-bye.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. December corn, 444.5, up 6.25. July, 473, up 6. November soybeans, 13.15.75, up 13.5. July, 12.62.75, up 6. December soybean meal, 423.30, up 7.20. December for December soybean oil, 41.48, down 4. October live cattle, 131.70, up 60. December lean hogs, 88.27.5, down 30. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.